Good morning and happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. Happy day to all of us. God is good, amen. He has given us this day. We need to celebrate the day. Be sure to pick up a calendar out there in the foyer if you haven't done that. I would like to encourage you to continue to pray for the postcards that we sent out here almost a month ago. And there are extras if you want to hand them out to your neighbors and invite your neighbors and friends to come and join us. Women, don't forget the women's retreat coming up. And I believe this Saturday is our ladies' Bible study, final one before you break. So Saturday morning, ladies, 9 o'clock, if you want to get up Saturday morning, show up for the Bible study. This would be the last one until this fall. Till later on, so keep your eyes open for the new date down the road. Did everybody remember to thank their mama? God is good. He's given us mamas, mothers to take care of us, to bring us into the world, to give us life, to carry us. I've never known what it's like to be a mama, but I'm thankful for mothers. I'm trying to get this light to turn on so I can read my notes. Otherwise, you'll be here for 6 hours instead of 10. What? Well, I do want to wish all of our mothers happy Mother's Day. And really happy Mother's Day to all of you women who gave birth to or cared for or protected or have helped others raise children. And it takes a lot of us to get those kids raised up. Amen? I know that many times I was at my neighbor's house harassing my neighbor's mother instead of my own. And so it's nice to have those who care for us and shepherd us, take care of us through life. Have you ever stopped to count up how many women have been involved in overseeing your life? I've got a pet frog this morning. He keeps coming and jumping around. Not sure what's going on. Anyway, might be a pretty short sermon. Do I hear an amen? No. Okay. You know, mothers face many challenges, including the training up of the children and trying to teach them good practices and good habits. There's no guarantee that your efforts are going to be successful. One particular family was leaving church, headed home this after church services one day. And a little boy sitting in the back seat pipes up and says, "Mom, I'm going to be a minister when I grow up." "Oh, well, that's good. We're happy you've made that decision. Why do you want to be a minister when you grow up?" "Well," the boy said, "I'll have to go to church anyway. And I just kind of figured it would be a whole lot more fun to stand up and yell at everybody than to sit and listen." Well, that's, hopefully I'm not yelling at you. Anyway, I do hope and pray that all of you mothers feel appreciated today. Some of you may receive a special treatment, recognition from your children if they remember. Hopefully they are remembering at some point. You might even get a gift from your child. There's another individual, son of a very poor widow woman. Grew up, got educated, and he became a very wise investor, struck it rich on the stock market, and on Mother's Day, he wanted to show his love for his mother, so he went down to the local pet store and asked him about their most expensive pet that they had. And the shop owner said, "Well, it just so happens we have a parrot here that can recite the parts of the Bible. He can tell all the Ten Commandments and a whole lot of other scriptures." "Well, how much is he?" "Well, he's $50,000. Well, the young man said, "My mother's worth that. She raised me. She trained me. She was so kind to me." And he bought the parrot and had it shipped to his mother that day. And so he calls her up the next day and says, "Hi, Mom, did you get my gift?" And she said, "Yes, "Thank you, son." And it was delicious. Oh, well. Never know what is going to happen with those gifts that we hand out, do we? Well, at least he wasn't re-gifted. Okay. Anyway, on a more serious note, turning to the book of Proverbs, I want to just share a couple little short texts from the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 22. Reading from the New American Standard Translation, we have these words. And this is more of direction to all of us. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. Skip down to verse 25. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Let us all be pleasing to our parents, especially to our mothers on this day. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for life, for hope, for blessings. We do thank you for those mothers and all those women who have given of themselves to help train us, teach us, correcting us, instructing us, so many things that they have done for us. Thank you for the great sacrifices of mothers in bearing us, enduring the long pregnancies, the trials of childbirth, and the many tantrums that we threw. Just help us to appreciate moms. Guide us and direct us that all of us can learn and study based upon your scriptural truths. Study the ways of righteousness, holiness, and your goodness. Guide us in reflecting upon the mothers of the past that have been good examples, have pursued you, have still sought to serve you, even through the trials that they've endured. Guide us and direct us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All of humanity depends on mothers. It has been by God's design. It was instituted by God. His design is through marriage. God enables women to bear life. God enables them to give birth to the new generations. God made mothers part of the family foundation. And by God's divine plan, if we follow His plan, we discover that we can have a stable life as we live in a troubled world. And not only that, if we follow God's plan, we can have eternity. Anybody want eternity? Yes, everlasting life. It's the gift from God, but we have to do it His way. God directs married women to be the helpmeet of their husband. And then all the children granted to those parents are to be trained by them in the ways of God, in His righteousness, in the truths that God has for us, in spite of all the sin, all the corruption that we are surrounded by. So today, I'll put together a list of 10 women listed in Scripture. Let's review some of the Bible's examples of mothers who served God. And they did not have the perfect circumstances. And sometimes you wonder, why can't things go better in my world? Because of sin and the corruption, Satan throws things at us from all different directions. So hang in there. Be faithful to God. Keep pressing forward, no matter what is coming, even in our own mistakes. The first one that I've got on our list is God formed the first woman from one of Adam's ribs. You know her name. What is it, ladies, men? Eve. We read in Genesis chapter 3:20 that Adam finally gave his wife a name, calling her Eve, for she was the mother of all the living, the mother of all people to come. You know, a lot of women buy these journals or go to YouTube or go to other sources or go to other friends to learn how to do things. Eve did not have a single journal. She did not have a single guide to read. She didn't have any other women to consult, to share her burdens, her struggles. She was on her own, except for putting her full trust in who? In God. Do you think Adam understood? Adam didn't know any more than she did. He'd never been through all that. She was dependent upon God. And with God's help, she endured the pregnancies, she endured the labor, she figured out how to raise the kids, she had her heartbreaks as well as her joys. Another woman we find in the book of Genesis is Sarah. Sarah was 90 before God blessed her with one child named Isaac. Now, I don't think any of you ladies are anticipating pregnancy at age 90. Doctors really frown on that. Every once in a while we hear a wild story of somebody, but 90. And even in her day, in her time period, she was beyond the years of childbearing. Everybody recognized it, but God was with her. In spite of her imperfections and her weak faith, she was a perfect mom. But God gave her the task of raising Isaac to receive God's promises given through Abraham. Abraham did have 7 other sons by other women, but Isaac was the son of promise, the son God used for his plan, the long-term plan. Did she understand that plan? No. But she did her best to raise her son in the knowledge that she had. A third woman from the book of Genesis. Rebecca endured a long wait. And then when she finally became pregnant, it was a difficult pregnancy. And she didn't understand what was going on. And she prayed to God. And it was revealed to her that she was carrying what? Twins. And they were fighting within her, struggling within her, and God reveals a future about the struggle that she was going through. In spite of her and Isaac's playing favorites with the boys, if you remember the story, they won. Isaac favored Esau, Rebecca favored Jacob, and a lot of underhanded things happened. And yet God still used that whole situation and developed, who was Jacob, into the man he wanted him to be, fulfilling the plan of redemption, leading on to the plan of blessing, blessing not just for that family, but for all humanity. We come to the book of Exodus. And we learn about a slave woman who defied Pharaoh's death order for 3 months, hiding her baby for 3 months, and then ultimately placing her baby into a special basket she had made for his keeping, placing the baby where? In the Nile River. Now, whenever the Nile River, I think of crocodiles, I think of hippopotamus, I think of all kinds of bad stuff. Can you imagine what she was thinking about? Laying her baby in this basket and setting it out adrift into the waters. I've got some theories about it, and according to the scriptures, she had a plan. She was hoping and praying the plan would work, and it did work. She, at first, is not named. We finally learn her name a little bit later. Jochebed and her husband Amram put all of their trust in God that God would take care of this little baby, their son. God blessed Jochebed with the privilege of caring for her own child by royal decree. Amazing story. If you're not familiar with it, go back and read it. How God worked it out so that she could still care for her own child. And then, of course, God molded Moses into the great leader that he became. And it began with a woman who cherished life in spite of the edicts of the rulers of the day. Fighting death with life, with care, with love. And I want to encourage women today. Our culture says it's okay to destroy life. God says He gives life to be raised, to be trained, to be taught. Another story we come into contact with as we read through the Bible is Hannah. Hannah devoted her firstborn son to God before she was even pregnant, before life was even granted to her. She was a barren woman. She suffered for many years from the humiliation of infertility. But she put her faith in God, that if possible, God, if you give me life, I'll return it back to you. And God answered her request with the birth of Samuel. Hannah kept her vow, surrendering her son to the work of God that had prepared for him, the future that God had for him. What did Samuel become? He became the prophet, the spokesman for God in the land of Israel. Did she know that to start with? No. And then, of course, another blessed story is that God granted her more children after Samuel was born. Now, this particular woman, her adultery led to the death of her husband and her firstborn son. Not a good story to start with, is it? Adultery, affair, death. But God is gracious towards those who repent from their sins. Those who will devote themselves fully to His ways. And God granted Bathsheba a second son, and she trained him in righteousness. What did that son become? Second king? No. Third king. Get the story right here. Third king of Israel. And the wisest man to live. Emphasis on man. Who was the wisest? Jesus. God-man. But, a lot of people show great criticism and doubt. Oh, there's no recovery from this situation. With God, all things are possible. Another old, barren woman used by God was Elizabeth. We come to our New Testament. It's recorded in the book of Luke. And in actuality, her son was prophesied in the last two verses of the Old Testament. The final words from God foretold a forerunner to the Messiah, that he would announce the pathway for the Lord to come. And so this old wife of one of the priests had no idea that she would get pregnant in her old age. She just kind of accepted it. She wouldn't have any children, but God had other plans. And it got the attention of the whole community. Go back and read about it in the book of Luke. Due to disbelief, what happened to Zacharias, her husband? He lost his voice during the whole pregnancy. Couldn't speak a word. Now, any of you wives want that from your husband? I wouldn't suggest it. I wouldn't recommend it. It takes teamwork. No amens? We really need each other. But because of his disbelief, he lost his voice through the entire pregnancy and was not allowed to speak until he gave a prophecy about the work of his son. The baby was filled with the Holy Spirit while still in Elizabeth's womb. The old righteous couple trained John in God's word, and then God enabled John at the right time to boldly preach the arrival of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But it started with an old couple. Saul's unnamed parents gave him the best education they could by the scholars of the day. He was taught to be zealous in Jewish traditions and to obey God, but heavy emphasis on traditions. Did Saul get it right to begin with? No, he was out there. He was mistaken in his belief in the traditions and trying to eradicate Christians, but God got a hold of his attention finally and corrected him, and he was a changed man to do things the right way by God's direction through Jesus Christ, his Savior, his Messiah, the one that he had rejected to start with. Sometimes it takes time. We don't know what's going to be happening, but we need to do the best we can to educate our children and hope and pray that they will be led by God to do the right things. God commands parents to train their children in biblical truth, not biblical opinions, but biblical truth. Our next case is a mother-grandmother team that trained Timothy to love God. It's recorded in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Acts chapter 16. It took a team to raise that boy. Sometimes we need a team, or maybe 10 or 12, to raise some children, right? And I would assume that it probably happens in spite of what we think we're on our own. We learn that Eunice married a Greek man. Now, she was a Jewish woman, and if you know the Jewish law, she was breaking the law of God. But she still loved God. And as she continued on, not only her, but her grandmother, Lois, they both were introduced to the gospel message about Jesus Christ, and they became believers, and they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they dedicated their life to following Christian principles, the Christian teachings. And in the process, they trained Timothy to serve Christ. And so Eunice, with her mother's help, prepared Timothy to serve God. What did Timothy become? He became a helper of the Apostle Paul. Eventually, he became one of the spokesmen, the preachers of the day, spreading the gospel, a missionary for the work of God. The last one, number 10, if you're doing a top 10 list, a lot of people put this one as the most important. We should all be thankful for Mary's devotion to God's will. Recorded in Luke chapter 1. And also through more passages of Scripture. The Almighty used Mary and Joseph as parents of His Son, God's Son, the Savior of all humanity. Now, if you go back and read her prayer of devotion to serve God as His servant, no matter what the cost, it's preserved for us to read. What was Mary's condition? What was her situation? She was probably in her teens. She was not yet married. She was engaged, but they hadn't finished the Jewish process. They were not married. And imagine all of the suffering that she endured, the public humiliation of becoming pregnant before being married. Joseph was embarrassed about it. He was going to put her away, and God's angel intervened, assured him that everything was fine, that he would be the father raising the Son of God. So we see Mary and Joseph, even as sinful parents, challenged with the process of raising the Son of God in perfect righteousness. In a very sinful world, their life was unstable. They were under threat of death constantly, had to flee, move, be ready to change their ways, but they pursued it. They served God. Mary and Joseph did not always understand the ways of their divine Son. Any of you have a perfect child that it does everything right all the time and maybe puts you to shame on occasion? Jesus was the perfect child. And they probably scratched their head many a time, wondering, who is this boy? Well, they actually knew who he was, but the reality was beyond what they could imagine. And they remained devoted parents, serving God's will, raising God's Son. The Bible records portions of the lives of many other mothers, women, girls, men, boys. Most choose to follow evil, sin, and corruption. Those stories are there to warn us, to remind us of the traps and deceptions of Satan. But we are encouraged to follow the examples of all those who made the effort to serve God, to commit to His ways, no matter what the cost was to their personal pleasure, to their freedom, to their health, or to their safety. All of those women and men who pursued God's path of righteousness, they were all sinners, just like us. And yet they pursued God, and under God's blessing, God's grace and mercy, God promised to help them, reward them during their life, and when? Beyond this life, into eternity. What great accomplishments will God perform through your efforts? We can't read the future. We don't know what the future is. But we must try our best to help, train, teach, lead, guide, be an example to those around us. God wants every mother and father and brother and sister to be the best that they can be, pleasing Him all the time. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, a directive to parents, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a great challenge. Let's remember it. Also in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 through 23, a directive to a son, but I think all of us can take it to heart. My son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is a light. And reproofs for discipline are the way of life. Mothers, happy Mother's Day. Do your best to serve God. Brothers and sisters, happy day. Do your best to serve God. Let's all be found faithful when Jesus returns. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for life. Thank you for blessing. Thank you for mothers. Thank you for the women who have had influences on our lives. And we just pray that all of us will be found serving you, doing your will. We thank you for the examples of faithful mothers of the past, doing their best in their various situations, lives of sin, learning to overcome those sinful traits. Let us all overcome with your help, your power, your strength through Jesus, with the help of your Spirit. And we do thank you for grace and mercy and redemption in Christ. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.